You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Rita. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's very, very exciting to have you here. Sarah's also in studio as well.
Hi, gang.
Because we have been geeking out about this movie hard. We're talking about I Used to Be Normal, a boy band fangirl story, which is pretty... pretty close to our hearts, I think is fair to say. Is that fair to say, Sarah?
I think anyone who has been an obsessive fan or even like verged upon being an obsessive fan will see themselves reflected in this film.
We'll get the vibe.
I'm getting into the vibe.
I'm playing some Backstreet Boys in the background on BFM. What's happening?
I love it.
No, I love it too. So welcome up to BFM. It's awesome to have you here, and I think the first thing I wanted to say about this movie was it was incredibly cathartic to watch it and
oh,
to
that's
see
so good to hear.
These four women of varying ages. So you've got actually, maybe do you want to introduce them? Who are the women in this movie?
Yeah, so it's a documentary and we follow four amazing, we think they're amazing, diverse women, aged between 70 and Leaf starts at 15, and they're fans of the Beatles, the Backstreet Boys, Take That, and One Direction. And all of them have had their lives irrevocably shaped by their boy band obsessions.
And so, like, there will be listeners out on BFM going, why are we talking about boy bands? But as Sarah said, like, boy band culture is so interesting because it's totally tied up with gender, it's totally tied up with female sexuality and women expressing themselves, basically. And that is part of the reason why there are these huge stigmas against it as well. And that's something I think that the movie kind of touches on in a really cool way too. It's talking about those layers that go on into being a fan of something that's like generally quite stigmatized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're all about, you know, and we say this in the film, it's time to come out as a boy band fan. reveal
yourself.
Who you are. Yeah. Be proud. Yeah. Be out and proud.
Totally. But there are these four different women, and as you're saying, diverse ages, diverse like music interests as well, but the themes of how they like are fans is quite similar. So how did you find these four women?
So I'm going to start with Alif, who's the daughter of Turkish Muslim immigrants to America. She lives in Long Island. And she's a One Direction fan. We found a video of her. She posted a 1D reaction video online. And, you know, there's millions of them out there. But what struck us about hers is, unlike many of the others, the camera was hidden. Like, her cousin didn't tell her she was filming.
Oh, no.
And the whole video goes for 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It's just her watching,
that's long
it's her
for
watching
YouTube.
A 1D concert DVD.
Yeah.
And she just fangirls, like, she can't breathe, she's struggling, she's saying, I used to be normal the whole time. And it was just so unguarded and real and beautiful. And we wrote her and said, we're making a film about fan being a fan, and do you want to be part of it? And she said, I love to talk about One Direction, let's do this.
That's a great way to find someone. Love the internet.
You have another fan in the documentary who also justifies it by saying, if I do participate in your documentary, will it get me closer to Gary Barlow? Possibly. Okay, I'll do it.
I'm going to do the thing.
And I think that's okay. You can have the ulterior motive is the same motive we have. You know, we started making this film when the director, Jessica Leske, at the age of 31, when you think you're safe, fell totally in love with One Direction in a
amazing,
really unironic way.
Yep.
And she thought, you know, what are you going to do? Turn what you procrastinate with into your job. We started making a film about it.
That's
so
awesome.
We're all doing this to get closer to God and then the boy bands.
God as boy band.
Yeah.
But that's actually kind of an interesting theme as well, is the way that boy bands are idolized and the way that we sort of they're constructed, and one of the women breaks that down really well in the movie. She like breaks down, this is the total constructed capitalist way that boy bands function.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like preying on the emotions of teenage girls, and despite that there is something so true and so real about the emotions that they elicit from people, you know. Why is that something that you think happens out of something that is so constructed, like a boy band? Why do you think that happens?
I think that was just beautifully said, you know, that their marketing constructs, they're kind of, you know, puppets to Simon Cowell's puppet master.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the experiences that these girls are having are totally genuine.
Mm.
And the girls are laughing as well a bit.
Yeah.
They're like, look at take that in matching leather. Like, what's going on there? But I love it.
Speaking of take that, we've got Back for Good playing in the background.
So strong.
Such an amazing hit.
Like, so good.
Now I'm distracted. What was I going to say? Yeah, so the girls all have these formative experiences. As a teenager, your brain completely rewires and, in fact, completely rebuilds. And so the music you hear as a teenager tends to be the music you listen to or love for the rest of your life. For me, that was the Backstreet Boys. Nice. I danced to Backstreet's Back at school assembly, and I can still do some of the moves.
Nice.
And I thought I was over it. I thought I grew up into someone more mature. 2 years ago, we were filming at a Backstreet Boys concert in a completely legal way.
Nice.
And I thought I was there as the producer, just there to get release forms signed, whatever. But then five grown men like broke into synchronized dance together in front of me, and I was triggered, if I can say that. Like, I was straight back there.
It threw you back into adolescence.
Yeah, and I wanted to scream, and it was so cathartic. You should all get in touch with your inner teenager. It's the best.
I really love that. I think I've just been reading a book actually by Caitlin Moran, and it's like books she wrote for teenage girls about basically it's a very sort of like close to her own real life. But the second book in there is it talks basically about teenage fandom and female fandom. And
amazing.
She writes about it. It's called How to Be Famous, and she writes about how like the Beatlemania basically was not necessarily just about like the girls loving the boys, like loving the Beatles, but it was about the girls loving being the girls, being like the Beatlemania girls, being that big wall of screaming noise and like that just like unfettered energy, like totally
so much energy. Yeah. Such a strength. And as you say, when your brain is rewiring at that age and you begin to have feelings, what do you do with them? The society and femininity goes, you do nothing with them. Female sexuality doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Put it in a box under your bed. It doesn't go anywhere.
Wait till you're married.
And then a boy band is kind of this safe exploration of that. These are men who will never hurt you.
Yeah.
They just want to do synchronized dances and cooperate and talk about their favorite animals.
Yeah.
And sing good pop songs. Yeah. And you're like, of course I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a baby first step. And when we spoke to all girls, all of the girls, different generations, they had different fantasies, but none of them were sexual.
No.
I was saying earlier, you graduate from the Beatles to the Rolling Stones, and you graduate, like, this is controversial, but I think you graduate from 1D to 5 Seconds of Summer. They're a little bit more PG,
sex,
you know.
There's
a little bit more.
Or maybe you graduate from One Direction to Harry Styles' solo album, is just about sex, basically, the whole thing. And his tight little Gucci pants, which are so good.
Or his amazing flares in gold. Like,
We're basically doing this show in honour of Sigrid today, who can't be here to talk about her love of Harry Styles in person because she's on holiday. So actually not really that sorry for Sigrid right now.
She may or may not have made Harry Styles the top of the BFM Christmas tree last Christmas.
I love this girl.
Yeah, she's pretty sensational.
I need to see a photo of that. We need to share that. That's great.
That's very, very good. But that's something that I think is really cool when talking about like sexuality and that kind of thing is actually it's quite a compromising situation for some of the women that you interview in this as well because of the position of their like cultural heritage.
Yeah.
Like what was that kind of conversations that you're having with those women? How did that sort of like play out, especially with their families there as well?
Yeah, well, I guess what was interesting is that despite the cultural heritage, and two of the girls by coincidence have are from Muslim immigrant families in the US, but actually there were very similar journeys compared to the girls from Australia, the whiteys as well. all of them had their parents be mean and say no and hold them back at certain points, some to different level, different extents. And what's interesting is, you know, Susan's dad in the 60s is saying, horrified by her expression of feelings, and doesn't let her go to university. And then you have something very similar happening, without giving too much away, with, you know, other girls now. So we loved and hated the patterns that were revealed. Jess and I went back and spoke to the girls numerous times over the 5-year period, and it was amazing to see them grow up, particularly Alif. She starts at 15 just a ball of emotion. And by the age of 19, she's grown up. She's a bit more stitched up, and that's a bit, it's a bit sad. By the time she's 19, she's nostalgic for her 15-year-old self.
Yeah.
But she's also grown up to the point where she's a little bit less ashamed of her family and mortified by them.
Mm. But more understanding of sort of the motivations and that kind of thing too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I think's happened with all of the girls too.
I think it was something that I found really moving, the bits that made me cry, actually, because I cried in this movie twice properly. So, and I think that the bits that really like got me were those moments where they're talking about how kind of learning either to accept that you love these boy bands and it's just like this thing that's part of your life is also totally tied to kind of appreciating yourself and appreciating your childhood too, and actually valuing those parts of yourself as a woman as well, and being like, it's not something to be ashamed of. I was like, yeah, I know, it's so true.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get talked about enough.
No, and it's a really, that's beautifully said as well. Again, I would say that too. You know, Sadia, who's the Backstreet Boys fan, is kind of most emblematic of that battle. She is an extremely intelligent, amazing woman with a great career. She graduated from Ivy League, Columbia, but her secret, covert, and she can even hide it from herself for periods, is the crazy Backstreet Boys, and that she is obsessed by them, and she knows that they're a weird marketing construct and unrealistic idea of love, but she can't, she sort of goes back and forth the whole way, and she has to get better at accepting
who that part of her, and also what that means. I thought that was something that was really interesting, was all the women talking about, what does it mean that I am in my 30s or in my, you know, 60s now, and I still am obsessed with this boy band, you know? And the Beatles, yes, the Beatles are a huge boy band. They're the first boy band ever, basically. They came up with the template for what boy band music is, you know?
They really did. And people do get offended when we put the Beatles in there. But if you look at those early couple of albums, it's foundational, matching outfits, preppy.
Yeah.
You know.
Constructed so that girls would be able to approach them.
They grew cool with age, the Beatles, but
the merch, they were... The merch is all exactly the same.
Exactly.
Totally.
My aunt was one of the screaming audience at the Beatles when they were here in New Zealand, and had jewellery. Like, someone was making a mint. She had silver jewellery.
Amazing.
With their face etched into all of it.
Wow.
My gran later stole it and used it as a egg shaper.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible. She's like, you can't wear that. That's terrible.
Girls are so creative. I tell you what, that's amazing.
That's all those beautiful memorabilia as well in the movie, like the little plates and the things with all the faces on them, like the royal family, the pillowcases.
Kiss your favourite Beatle. Like
That was. This was a printout of all the Beatles' mouths, so you could kiss it every night before you went to bed.
Oh, hope you get a little wipe down later as well.
Without giving too much away in the film, another thing that really... really empathise with these women is there was the great filmmaking device of basically a reaction video. You're watching these women who grew up in the music video age watching a Backstreet Boys music video or a Take That music video, oftentimes with the song removed, and watching these women and the way they react to it. It's really quite revealing and beautiful, and that relationship still exists with these pieces of media.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that came about, was we were like, how are we going to put the boy bands in this film? You know, we're a tiny Australian documentary. So some beautiful creative things came out of that. Like, let's get Sadia to watch it and tell us what's happening on screen.
With headphones on, so it's very much personal sphere.
Yeah.
It's a very, it's a great
and
device.
And the Backstreet Boys, you know, that's what, they're an interesting, there's so many schools of thought on boy band definitions, but they are a little bit more sexualized than some of the others. They certainly don't have other women in their clips, which is why Boys to Men... controversial. Aren't in.
Yeah.
but they do gyrate a lot in front of the camera and stuff. Mm. It's so good.
And the trope of just, it's raining. Oops.
Do you know what? Every single one of the clips, like so many boy band clips have water in them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like the switch as well between like, they're all dry, and suddenly everyone's soaking wet. there's no, oh, it's starting to drizzle, should we get an umbrella out? No, it's just like goes from complete dryness to totally drenched. Yeah.
Some kind of weird sexual analysis you could do on that, but we won't go into that now.
But I think like it is, it's an incredibly uplifting movie, and it is actually about so much more than women loving boy bands, basically. It's about kind of what makes what makes female sexuality, what makes it taboo to talk about it, how we kind of like, you know, how we talk about it. And I think that that's something I really loved from this movie, was the bits that I was like, hey, yeah, that's like so true, you know. It's really nice to see these stories on a big screen as well.
Oh, thank you, that's great. I mean, yeah, boys can scream, and in my age it was like Michael Jordan was on the wall, and you know, football, you can really, that's where they can feel the feelings. I would encourage boys to go and see the film, and also boy bands, and get in touch with their inner fangirl. But yeah, why do we tend to judge whatever teenage girls like?
Yeah,
because later it tends to turn out to be cultural, you know, touch points.
Absolutely. And and a gold mine as well. Like, the these bands are the biggest commercial successes in the world, and their financial base is young women, you know. That's a huge power that's like untapped by lots of other music industries, who are embarrassed to have girls as their fans, you know? Yeah.
It's touched on briefly, like you mentioned, there are bands who would be considered screamo or emo, and those are cathartic releases for a predominantly male audience.
Yeah.
And then the equivalency is just nowhere near as cool. Yeah. So says the world.
So says the world.
But it is.
But not us. And not this movie. So if you've just tuned in, we're talking about I Used to Be Normal, a boy band fangirl story, which is on at the NZIFF with Rita, who's the producer. And people can go and see it. I'm just going to grab the program. People can go and see it on the 26th of July.
Today.
That's today.
In about an hour.
Go at the Rialto at 2:15, and then also on Sunday the 5th of August. What's the AWT?
It is the ASB Waterfront Theatre.
There we go.
And I'm going to make a plug for that one because it's got a brand new awesome sound system. So if you really want to just be subsumed some boy band love.
Love it. Okay, that's definitely a good one to do. So you can go this afternoon, or you can go on the 5th of August as well. So that's definitely go. Like, that's my number one pick of the film festival.
Thank you so much.
And beautiful.
It's so good. We're just finishing out this little Take That song in the background. This is from their comeback, their sort of like middle-aged comeback. I was saying to Sarah the other day, we lived in the UK when this like came, when they came back.
Oh wow.
And like I was at high school, and all my friends' mums just lost it. Like, it was another phenomenon in itself. It was amazing. I very much enjoyed that.
Text in 5395. Has a boy band ever ruined your life?
Or changed it for the better? Who knows? We might end on a Beatles track, though, the OG boy band, as we were saying before. This is a BBC session, actually, but it's we were saying it's like the like original boy band era of them, when they were singing about girls and for girls, kind of like girls as well, with their soft hair and their nice little round faces. So cute. This is She Loves You. Thanks so much for coming up, Rita.
Thank you.
It's up to you. I think.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.